From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey.
I never had it easy, never had it made. I'm hungry, believe me, I gotta get paid. I never had it easy, never had it made. Get out of my way, I gotta get paid. And you know what that's like.
That's Gotta Get Paid from the TV series Power. The song is by the hip-hop artist known as Solstice, a.k.a. Ashley Lawrence. From studying engineering at the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign to a music career that had him touring the U.S., Japan, and Europe, to now being a vice president at Microsoft, Ashley Lawrence contains multitudes. This past winter, he was the keynote speaker at the Coordinated Science Laboratory Student Conference in Urbana. Lawrence's full title is Vice President, Distinguished Scientist, and Managing Director at Microsoft Research Outreach. He was also nominated by the White House to serve on the Global Partnership on Artificial Intelligence. Earlier this year, I spoke with him about his expertise in AI and the benefits and risks of a future with smarter machines. Because today's show is on tape, we're not taking calls, but you can always let us know what you thought anytime by emailing us. The address is talk@21stshow.org. Ashley, welcome to the 21st. Thank you so much for being with us.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Listeners, as always, we want to invite you to join our conversation. What questions do you have about artificial intelligence? Do the benefits of advanced technology by machines outweigh the risks? You can always join our conversation at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. Or you can tweet us at 21st Show, at 21st Show. So I'm going to start with this concept of AI. Artificial intelligence, I think, is a term a lot of people are familiar with, at least on a superficial level, right? Whether it's face recognition technology to science fiction. But there's a lot under that umbrella. So can you explain to me, as we sometimes say on the show, like I'm a smart 13-year-old, what exactly is AI?
Sure. Why don't we just start with the concept of intelligence in general, which, you know, is a concept we could apply to humans or machines or combinations of both. The way that I think about intelligence is as the ability to set and achieve goals. So we have goals in life, you know, from things like, feeding ourselves all the way to living a happy life. We set those goals, we use our intelligence to accomplish those goals. So now if we think about artificial intelligence, my take on AI then is it's not about making machines more intelligent in and of itself, but what it is about extending and augmenting human intelligence, that is our ability to set and achieve goals and to make machines more capable partners in doing that.
Yeah, so this is the idea of the extended mind, as I think Annie Murphy-Paul put it, right? Not so much independent consciousness, but I mean, how do you think about that? Do you see that as something that people are working? I mean, obviously there are people working toward it, but is that what you all are doing at Microsoft Research, or is that sort of still the realm of science fiction in your view?
Yeah, well, consistent with this way of thinking about artificial intelligence, I'd say it's about extending our minds, extending our bodies, extending our agency. I would not necessarily say that it's about creating consciousness in a machine. In fact, if I was an engineer designing a machine, I might view consciousness as an undesirable byproduct of my design goals for the machine. One of the more recent technologies that's really become ubiquitous in helping us to make machines smarter, more capable allies, is machine learning. Which really has represented a paradigm shift in the way that we make machines intelligent, from traditional ways of programming a computer explicitly to do things. If I want, a robot, for example, to move forward 5 steps and 7 steps to the left, I might write a program that allows it to do that. With machine learning, I might, say use a technology like reinforcement learning to allow the machine to learn how to do that. It's in and of itself to accomplish a goal that I say. Get over to the door is the goal. I allow the machine to try a lot of different things. It learns how to plan in order to get over to the goal. So advances in machine learning are a focus for Microsoft Research, Microsoft and many others in the community And really just one technology and research area within many to make machines smarter and more capable allies to us in many different ways.
Maybe we can pick a subject area then to talk about how machine learning works. Like, let's take medical diagnostics, right? I don't know if you're specifically familiar with that, but like, you know, teaching machines or software, however you want to describe it, to help diagnose cancer or something like that, maybe, or pick another example if you want. But can you talk about how a computer or software learns in that context?
Sure. So there's a project that I've become familiar with since being at Microsoft called InnerEye. And that's actually a project where technologists and researchers at Microsoft are creating, using machine learning to help accelerate the process of planning surgeries based on CT scans. So three-dimensional CT scans are images of the brain. In fact, a 3D scan is, you know, dozens of in 2D slices. And so this process of planning the surgery based on the CT scans really involves a very meticulous, you know, traditionally a very meticulous, you know, hand sketching of the areas that require the intervention in each one of those layers. So each one of those two-dimensional slices, someone's going in and hand drawing where the intervention needs, putting them back together in this 3D reconstruction. So recently, what the team was able to do is use machine learning to automate the process of analyzing the scans and creating the plan for surgery. And ultimately then, it's not an autonomous surgery, for example, but what it does is it makes the you know, the medical professionals doing that planning actually 73% faster at doing that job, really having to correct, you know, the guesses that the machine comes up with on the basis of this analysis versus doing it completely by hand. So that's an example then of making machines smarter in a way that assists us in doing a task. In this case, you know, planning surgeries based on 3D CT scans.
Let me take a moment to remind listeners, if you're just tuning in, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking with Ashley Lawrence, who's Vice President, Distinguished Scientist, and Managing Director at Microsoft Research Outreach. We're talking about artificial intelligence and the future and what that means, and also Ashley's personal journey. So I mentioned in the introduction, and you are a hip-hop artist of some renown. I know your music has been used on the people are familiar with the TV series Power, for example. There's a song that has been used on that. Can you talk about your personal journey from, you know, as a musical artist, an engineer, you know, and how you, you know, sort of chose one, or I guess maybe didn't choose, had both in some ways?
Sure. Yeah. You know, in many ways, my journey did start on campus where I am right now at the University of Illinois. And in 2003, I graduated with a master's degree in electrical and computer engineering. And I also finished my first album, North by Northwest, which I recorded a lot of on campus. And actually, my initial plan was to be an engineer for a couple of years and essentially use that to finance my record label and then be a full-time artist. Nice. You know, I guess for many reasons, I really enjoyed engineering, but my heart was in kind of music as a creative pursuit, as a way to see the world, as a way to create, you know, connected experiences for people. And, you know, now I've been working in science and technology research for about 20 years. And I think what I found is really ways of achieving those motivations through science and technology, as well as doing the music career, you know, as a parallel career. I will say here, as I'm about 20 years in as a professional, you know, a science and technology researcher, as a father of two, I've never done less in terms of music, but it has been, many enjoyable years kind of leading up to this.
Yeah, right. So I guess you can tour the world as doing outreach for Microsoft Research and science as opposed to hip hop necessarily, although you've done that as well, right?
A little of both. Yeah, I've actually had trips where I've done both, but these days mostly focused on my role at Microsoft and seeing the world and, you know, creating those connected experiences in that context.
Can we talk a little bit about artificial intelligence and some of the limitations? And maybe I don't know if I'm conflating technologies here, but things like facial recognition, there have been issues with that. when it comes to racial equity, identifying people of color, right? Face recognition software, even things like the little sensor that knows if you have your hand under a sink in a bathroom, sometimes doesn't identify darker skin tones as well as it does, you know, lighter skin tones. Can you talk about how artificial intelligence, you know, maybe exacerbates existing inequalities in life and what can be done to make it more inclusive and something that everybody benefits from?
Yeah, absolutely. We talked about machine learning, for example, making machines intelligent by allowing them to program themselves or learn from data and experiences. And so, to your point, if not done carefully, or really, you know, really this is going to be a byproduct of this method, the machine is going to pick up biases that are inherent in the data. And the biases come in all different forms, right? So biases can affect performance in ways that don't have to do with, you know, social and ethical values. Like if I have a data set that's collected only on sunny days and I want to do object recognition, and then I deploy the system on a cloudy day, you know, that reflects a bias that was inherent in the data. To your point, some of the biases that we learn, you know, that machines can learn from data do have social implications. And we really have to be very careful. And the diligence that we need to apply needs to happen all the way through that technology lifecycle, from the design of the system, that is, what is the system designed to achieve, the level of inclusivity in terms of which communities we engage with on just the role of the system relative to users, relative to communities and society, and then the development of the system. So now, you know, once we have those perspectives, how does that change or influence the ways in which we select data, label data, specify learning objectives for machines? What is the goal that it's trying to optimize? And how is the human intent and human values, how are they reflected in that goal? And then in the deployment of the system and the performance, the monitoring, understanding what we do when the systems make mistakes. So it's a really important question. It's a big question, and it's really a fundamental one all throughout that life cycle of design for systems.
We're coming to the end of our time together. Can you just talk a little bit about this apocalyptic aura that sometimes surrounds AI? And I guess sometimes it's paired with a utopian vision, right? We're either going to be in the Star Trek universe or the Terminator universe or the Matrix, right, where the machines take over. Or humans will be able to just, you know, play harps and eat grapes because the machines are doing everything. How do you think about that? Why do you think that? What is your perspective on why these narratives are so powerful to people?
First of all, it's entertaining. a lot of, you know, the utopian, dystopian scenarios, they're created in the service of entertainment, whether that's science fiction, whether it's books or movies. I also think, you know, humanity loves to dream about our future and the role of technology in the future. And, you know, actually, I was just at a panel discussion at the Sundance Film Festival, where I was speaking with movie makers of different kinds about this. And I love the way that science fiction and art can really push us to be more ambitious with the kinds of technologies and the futures that we want to create, but then also help sensitize us to those risks. From my own point of view, I really think focusing on the human aspects will help guide us in terms of the opportunities that we see and the ways that we mitigate risk. So what are we trying to accomplish with the AI? We need to make sure that when we optimize, when we learn from lots of data, when we optimize, we're pursuing goals that are aligned with human intent. Goals like shared prosperity, goals like, kind of normalizing people's experiences or creating equitable experiences regardless of your physical and cognitive abilities, providing technology to folks in different parts of the world that don't have access. So when we think about the advancement of AI as helping us to advance human goals, that's the first step. I also think we need to be very cognizant of the unintended consequences of technologies, both from technologies like machine learning, where the machine can pick up implicit biases, all the way to the deployment of technologies and unintended uses of those by human beings. So the dystopian futures that I most like to focus on usually are the ones in which there's unintended consequences or unintended use by humans. I'm less typically, this is just my perspective, I'm less concerned about the machines taking over and more concerned about unintended consequences, associated with the technologies we develop and deploy. But it's a really important question. I do think, maybe as a closing thought here, it takes all of us to really make this future happen, to steer us towards those utopian futures. It can no longer just be in the realm of computer science that this future is hashed out. So we really need to make this an inclusive undertaking.
Ashley Lorenz is Vice President at Microsoft Research and an alumni of the University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign. I spoke with him earlier this year, back in the winter, when he was keynote speaker at the Coordinated Science Laboratory Student Conference in Urbana. Coming up after the break, we'll be talking with author Jimmy Soney, whose book on the people who created PayPal shows how the road to Silicon Valley went right here through central Illinois. The book came out earlier this year. It's called The Founders, The Story of PayPal and the Entrepreneurs Who Shaped Silicon Valley. That's coming up after a short break. This is The 21st Show. Stay with us.